my fellow South Africans. This coming Friday will mark exactly 1 year since the first case of coronavirus was reported in our country. Since then, more than 1.5 million people in South Africa have been infected, and nearly 50,000 of our people have been reported to have died from the disease. So much has changed in our country and in our lives. But the spirit of our people has not changed. You have endured the greatest hardships, but you have remained resolute, united, and hopeful. Now, a year after the virus first reached our shores, we have a much clearer path towards containing infections and ultimately overcoming the disease. Within less than a year, the global scientific community has been able to develop, it has also tested and produced several vaccines that are safe and effective against the disease. This was not foreseen in the past. South Africa's scientists and research institutions have made an important contribution to these efforts and have contributed to global knowledge about the disease, including on the emergence of new variants. And in this regard, our scientists, who we should be proud of, have really led the way, and they are recognized globally. We have long held the view that a vaccine would be our most decisive measure to combat COVID-19, and to that extent, we've set up at continental and national level to prepare for the availability of an effective vaccine. Like many other countries, we have now started our vaccine program. In the 10 days since we launched our coronavirus vaccination program, more than 67,000 health workers who are on the front line of our fight against COVID-19 have been vaccinated. A new batch of 80,000 doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine arrived in the country yesterday, and we are steadily increasing the number of doses that have to be administered each day. The start of our vaccination campaign has so far gone extremely well. It has shown that we can achieve much when we work together as a government, the scientific community, the private sector, and community-based organizations. All provinces have established vaccination sites and have put in place plans for the expansion of the program as it will be gaining momentum. The number of sites that will be available for vaccination will be expanded next week from 17 to 49 sites. Of the 49 sites, 32 will be at public hospitals and 17 sites in the private hospital sector. This includes sites in the rural areas to improve access to rural healthcare workers. Once the vaccination of healthcare workers has been completed, we will begin with phase two of the vaccination rollout in late April to early May. Phase two will include the elderly, essential workers, persons living or working in institutional settings, and those with comorbidities. For this phase, we will be activating many more sites for vaccination in the public and private sector, healthcare sector, so that we can reach as many of our people in the shortest possible time. We have recently signed an agreement with Johnson & Johnson to secure 11 million doses. Of these doses, 2.8 million doses will be delivered in the second quarter, and the rest spread throughout the year. We've also secured 20 million doses from Pfizer, which will be delivered from the second quarter. Additionally, we have secured 12 million vaccine doses from the COVAX facility, and we are in the process of finalizing our dose allocation from the African Union. We are in constant contact with various other vaccine manufacturers to ensure that we have the necessary quantities of vaccines when we need them. So from a vaccine availability point of view, I'd like to say that we will be secured. When I last addressed the nation at the beginning of this month, the country had passed the peak of the second wave of coronavirus infections. Driven by a new variant of the virus, the second wave was far more devastating and caused greater loss of life than the first wave. The country has now clearly emerged from the second wave. New infections, admissions to hospitals, and deaths have fallen significantly and continue to decline steadily. In the week that has just passed, the country recorded just under 10,000 new infections. A month ago, in the last week of January, the country recorded over 40,000 new cases. And a month before that, in the last week of December, the country recorded close on to 90,000 new cases. Now, this dramatic decline in cases over 8 weeks is due to a combination of a number of factors: the public health measures that we introduced, changes in the behavior and accumulating immunity in those who became infected in our communities. We were able to emerge from the second wave because most people adhered to the tighter restrictions and observed the basic health protocols, including wearing of masks in public and social distancing. The measures we had put in place in December were necessary to contain infections and to prevent our health facilities from being overwhelmed. They were necessary to save lives. We had to undertake these measures knowing that they placed restrictions on the daily lives of everyone in our communities. We also know that they caused a great deal of inconvenience to our people. And while we made every effort to keep the economy open, we also knew that there were parts of the economy that would be affected and that would not be able to operate fully. Our approach has always been that much restrictions should not remain in place longer than is absolutely necessary to contain the disease. Due to the decline in infections, the country can now ease some of the restrictions on movement and on activity. Once again, we do so very cautiously. Even after a sustained period of relatively low transmission, we have seen how the number of new infections can rise rapidly and without warning. Based on an assessment of the current state of the pandemic in the country, Cabinet, after various levels of consultation with our provinces and our metro mayors, Cabinet has decided earlier today to move the country from coronavirus alert level 3 to alert level 1. The new alert level will come into effect later this evening once the regulations have been gazetted. This will mean that the hours of curfew will now move from 12 midnight to 4 a.m. Second part is that gatherings will be permitted, subject to limitations on size, adherence to social distancing and other health protocols. And these gatherings will include these following types of gatherings: religious, social, political, and cultural gatherings. The other part is that the maximum number of people allowed at any gathering is 100 people for indoor gatherings and 250 people for outdoor gatherings. Where the venue is too small to accommodate these numbers with appropriate social distancing, then no more than 50% of the capacity of the venue may be used. Night vigils or other gatherings before or after funerals are still not permitted. Nightclubs will remain closed. The sale of alcohol will be permitted according to normal license provisions. However, no alcohol may be sold during the hours of curfew. The wearing of masks in public places is still mandatory, in other words, compulsory. And failure to wear a mask when required to do so remains a criminal offense. The 33 land border posts that have been closed throughout this period will remain closed, while the other 20 will remain open. Only 5 airports will be open for international travel with standard infection control measures in place. And these are OR Tambo International, Cape Town International, King Shaka International, Kruger, Mpumalanga, and Lanseria Airport. As we ease restrictions, we cannot let our guard down. The few remaining restrictions under Level 1 are meant to maintain low levels of infections and in particular to prevent super spreading events. The new variant known as 501Y.V2 is now the dominant variant in the country. Because the new variant is transmitted more easily, it has the potential to infect more people, and it places a greater strain on our health system and lead to greater loss of life. Therefore, social distancing is even more critical. Wearing a mask and avoiding crowds is even more important. And it is now even more important that we all download the COVID Alert SA mobile app onto our cell phones. Nearly 2 million South Africans are already using the COVID Alert SA mobile app to be notified if they are exposed to the virus. And we continue advising people to go for a test if you have any symptoms of COVID-19. These measures are not merely to protect each of us, but also to protect those who we love and we care for. Following these measures is about protecting yourself, your family, and your community. It is about being responsible and caring. We must continue these measures even as more and more of our people get vaccinated. Vaccines significantly reduce the likelihood of a person developing symptoms and becoming seriously ill, and they reduce the overall rate of infection in a population. We therefore need to see vaccines as one of the measures that we have in our coronavirus toolkit to contain the pandemic. As we have said in the past, vaccines are now the most effective measures that we have. Still, we will only be able to ultimately overcome the pandemic if we continue to practice all other prevention measures as well. We must do all this, both so that we defeat the pandemic and so that we can accelerate our economic recovery. We must do this to restore our country to growth and to get people back to work. Even as economic activity returns, even as we roll out our employment stimulus and infrastructure investment programs, even as we undertake economic reforms with greater urgency, many businesses are still struggling. Many people still do not have their jobs back, and many households are still feeling the effect of having lost much of their income. As I announced in the State of the Nation address, we have therefore extended the period for the special COVID-19 grant by a further 3 months until the end of April. We have also extended the UIF special COVID-19 wage support benefit until the 15th of March 2021 for those sectors of the economy that have not been able to operate over this period. These measures have been shown to be effective at reducing the economic impact of the pandemic on some of the most vulnerable in our society. Our country's public finances are, however, extremely constrained, and we cannot keep such relief measures in place indefinitely, much as we would have wanted to. The return to alert level 1 means that most of the remaining restrictions on economic activity have been removed. We expect this to lead to higher consumption spending, bolstered by the steady recovery in employment. We expect businesses to implement the plans they have put on hold due to the restrictions. As we undertake further structural reforms, this will entrench the green shoots we have begun to see in the economy to come through. That is why all our energy and effort must now go into growing the economy, and this includes keeping infections down. For this reason, amongst others, the easing of restrictions should not be viewed as a reason to abandon the precautions that we need to take to combat coronavirus. The threat of a third wave is constantly present, as is the threat of yet new variants of the virus. As we witnessed last year, our actions as individuals and as a collective will determine whether and how soon we experience a resurgence of the virus. In the meantime, the virus continues to circulate in our families, our workplaces, and our communities. As our vaccination campaign gathers momentum and pace, we must continue to exercise extreme caution to protect ourselves and others. Together with our scientists and experts, we will continue to monitor the situation closely and to adapt our approach in a responsive and flexible manner. And we will, together with our scientists, continue to build models so that we can anticipate what further infection rates could be like. This pandemic has taken much from us, but it has also taken a lot from us, but it has not taken our strength away. Our courage has not been dampened, and our sense of solidarity as a people is still strong. It has also not dampened our spirit or weakened our resolve as a nation. Our unlikely and uniquely South African spirit has allowed us to remain steadfast in the face of an unprecedented threat. And this threat is a threat that we have met as a nation, and we have been able to inspire each other and to chart a path to recovery. And I would say that we should remain united. We should also remain hopeful, but we should also be determined as ever to face down this challenge that has confronted our nation. And as always, I want to end by saying we wish that God continues to bless our beautiful country and its people. And I thank you all. And I thank you because we have worked together to achieve the progress that we have. Thank you to all of you South Africans.